the strength of your weakness devastates me.
It's bad. It's not good. I'm back on playing World of Warcraft.
There's a big truck.
It's not shocking, but I thought we were past this.
I'm playing Turtle World.
None of you are ever past this.
No, we're never getting past it.
As much as
once an addict, always an addict.
Every time they're just like, "No, I'm done with it, man."
I have nothing to say to defend myself.
Oh yeah, sure.
I have nothing to defend myself. I am playing Turtle Warcraft. It's made by some flavor of Russians, or I think they might be Polish, Eastern European, somewhere in there. Yeah. And it's a private server. It's super fun. It's basically classic plus extra stuff. They added some bosses in the dungeons. They added some class abilities. It's been fun. I've been enjoying it.
Playing with Rob. No. Yeah. You shouldn't. You should be less happy to be playing it. Just the other day, you said, "Oh, I only played for 2 days."
Yeah, I know.
I'm so. My willpower is just, it staggers me.
Yeah, it's like,
that wouldn't go that far.
For anyone listening, to me, this is like, every time they're just like, "Aren't you happy I caught the flu?" And it's like, no. No, I'm not. Okay?
Aren't you happy I punched myself in the nuts?
Yeah, just...
This one didn't cost $15, though.
This one didn't cost $15 a month.
Goddamn.
Oh, wow, it's so different.
$15 a month is such a fucking scam.
Scammers. God bless.
I don't support it in any way.
Yeah, at all. As you shouldn't. As you shouldn't.
Is there a... any chance that this is going to be like, oh, and then I'm gonna really get into the end game of this? Do you think that you're actually going to get that far?
I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in seeing what they've done, because like so far I've been having a blast because there's so much. It's like the same thing but different. Mm-hmm. It's like it's just different enough to keep me interested and entertained.
What are you playing?
I'm playing a paladin, and I already have like two additional abilities that weren't there before that make leveling like a breeze. It's extremely fun. So
this is just heroin hero.
It is. It's heroin. It is.
And then I am chasing
the dragon.
Has like a couple different hiding spots now, and you're just like, ha, I got you. I am chasing that dragon.
They added he pokes his head out from behind the tree, and then a bunch of other dragons like pile on top like Scooby Doo. Yeah. They added that in the new one.
So good. It's so good.
This is actually,
I'll catch him one day.
This is a private, you can catch the dragon, and I hear you can actually catch the dragon.
Yeah, I heard you can actually catch him this time.
Sure.
It's a private server where you can actually catch him. I think.
I bet. How many times have you done it so far?
Just living to win.
Live to win till you die. And with that, welcome back to Scryer's Room. I am your host, Tamfair.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Mario.
And if you enjoy the nature of this content, go ahead and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube and give me a follow on Blue Sky, and you can support us on our Patreon. And today, we're going to go into some more Skaven history for you all.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The Skaven, the horrible rat men of Warhammer that I'm learning more and more just should have won by now. If they had anything that made a species and society work, they would have won all of Warhammer by now.
In a numbers game, they've already won.
Yeah.
But they just, organization, logistics, they just can't get it together.
It doesn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of inevitable. Like, they just turn back on themselves.
They
can't help it.
They just, it's a rat eating its own tail. And now we're going into the more history of eating themselves.
A coked out rat eating its own tail.
Numb to the pain. So I ended last time with the red pox and its utter failure in Britannia due to the intervention of the elves of Athaloran and a vampire from the province of Mousillon. And then immediately following the failure of the red pox begins the Second Great Civil War. Now, what had happened was after the failure of the Red Pox, many Skaven wanted to see the Plague Lords of Clan Pestilence ousted from the Council. After months of scheming and politicking, a full vote of the Council was ordered. They'd all vote, and Clan Pestilence attempted a coup before the vote actually was held. They declared the rest of the Council heretics, and...
Okay. Classic. Yeah.
Many of the...
No, none of what you guys say counts. We're the only ones who count.
And many of the Warlord clans rose up with them. Fighting broke out between the albino Storm Vermin of the Temple, the Plague Monks of Clan Pestilence, and the Warlord clans. It was pure anarchy, as factions would gain and subsequently lose control of the Temple of the Horned Rat.
So basically, everybody who actually showed up, they just started swinging on each other, off like some guys failing. They did fail technically, and then everybody being like, "It's because you failed. We're mad at you." And they're like, "You're mad at me. You're all fired. You can't fire us. You're fired." And then just swinging.
Yeah, yeah, in a very typical Skaven fashion. Broke down. And then it was more than two factions, because there were so many people fed up with Clan Pestilence that, yeah, they had their backers, but then people, or rather entire clans, thought, yeah, fuck the council and Clan Pestilence. We're tired of your failures. All of you suck. We should be in charge.
So it's the South Park Tom Brady versus the NFL. Fuck you, I'm Tom Brady!
Fuck you, you're breaking the rules. Fuck you, I'm breaking the rules. Fuck you, you're breaking the rules.
You had to break the rules to find out I broke the rules.
Clan Scryer had long foreseen such an uprising and had prepared. Ikkit Claw was promoted to the chief warlock and led the charge to restore order. Within weeks, Scryer commanded the Temple of the Horned Rat, and Lord Morskadar declared himself emperor of all Skavendom.
Which was obviously respected.
Position, not really, because as he sought to reform the council beneath his rule, obviously, it was already too late. The fighting had spread throughout the entire Under Empire, and none could stop it.
Hold on, guys. I think everybody can agree that I'm in charge. And then nobody turned to hear him say that. They're still just punching each other in the face.
Just shooting each other, stabbing each other. Having a go of it.
Guys, I'm emperor now. We can all stop. Guys.
I did it. I won. Stop the clock. But did it, hooray me.
No one even kind of looking over there.
Just a cloud of fists and bullets.
A big cartoon cloud.
Yeah. Was there any Skaven who was intelligent enough to just be like, I'm just gonna see how this goes?
So, you had brought this up in the last episode. This would last for 400 years of fighting and just slaughtering each other. And dozens of factions would rise and fall. Clan Scryer, Clan Mulder, and Clan Pestilence each led a major faction in their own, whereas Clan Eshin remained neutral, selling out all its agents for exorbitant amounts of money.
Just mercilessly.
So in the last Civil War, Eshin settled things by swearing allegiance to the council and forced Pestilence's hand to, like, okay, let us in and then we'll stop. Eshin took no one's side this time, so that wasn't an option. They were assassinating everybody at behest of anyone. So obviously makes things way more worse than they could have been, hence 400 years of warfare.
400 years of profit.
Exactly. Exactly. Clan Scryer overhauled the nest lair within Skaven Blight with infernal engines and war machines previously undreamt of. With these devices, Lord Morskadar was able to notice the dark magic that preceded the great chaos incursion that was rising in the north. This would prepare him for what was to come. So I'm going to take a quick aside and bring up the Storm of Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the timelines of Warhammer Fantasy Battles. The canon one being the End Times, which basically replaced the Storm of Chaos. But the Storm of Chaos is when Archaon led the next great Chaos incursion south to basically fuck up Kislev and the Empire. And the Skaven played a small hand in that, but they were too embroiled in this to actually do anything or be a significant player. So, as the Chaos armies built up in the north, portent was abound. Morslib hung low in the sky, and warpstone meteors fell from the sky. The Grey Seers, still holding on to fragments of their once great authority, visited every Skaven stronghold and gave an ultimatum. Attend the Great Feast of Vermintide, or suffer the wrath of the Horned Rat. For the Grey Seers planned to invoke the Great Horned Rat himself and end the war between clans.
That's it. We're all getting together this Christmas, and we're calling Jesus, and he's gonna decide it. Santa's on our side. I don't want to hear about Santa right now. Don't bring him into this. He just does good girls and boys, and he does toys. This is Jesus we're talking about.
This is about me and you and Jesus.
And he is a decider.
He is the decider.
We're going to call him. You can't do that. Oh, we're going to. This Christmas, you're coming home for dinner.
Everyone is coming for dinner. No exception.
We're squashing the beef.
So naturally, some clans feared a trap and sent representatives, but none dared ignore. On the eve of the great feast, the Skaven did gather, and for the second time in their history, a member of every clan was assembled to the Temple of the Horned Rat. The door swung open, and the entire order of 169, nice, Greyseers filed out. Seer Lord Kritzlik was the last of the 13 of 13s, and carried with him a skin-bound tome, which he set on an iron lectern. As he squeaked an incantation of... The other Greyseers joined in, and the chant amplified as the sacrifices began to be made. One by one, 69 slaves died in increasing agony. Oh, yeah?
I'm sorry. It could be a trap. Well, still bring slaves for sacrificing, just in case that we still do all the Christmas stuff. And, by the way, also, there are, like, it could be a trap. It's not even maybe a trap. It's definitely a trap. At the very least, they are calling you with the presumption that God will align with them and then smite you. It's minimum that kind of trap, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, we'll see.
You just have to show up and pray that God smites them for thinking that they can call God to smite you.
You'll see. You'll see. There will be some smiting. As the chanting reached the bowels of creation, where the horned rat gnawed on the roots of reason, a great bell tolled as thunder crashed and a lightning streaked in the skies. The bell rang again and again, so loud that it drowned out the thunder and the chanting of the seers. After the 13th toll, the bell stopped, but its reverberations could still be felt. One by one, 169 slaves died in increasing agony, the last killed by the seer lord himself. The Seer Lord screeched, and from his mouth a dark vapor that plumed endlessly up until it was the size of the tower itself. A great claw reached out and ripped open the curtain of reality. A shape blacker than black could be seen amidst the vapor. Two blood-red eyes, as wide as castle gates, stared out as one by one the Skaven prostrated themselves, some dropping dead as their hearts burst.
That's... So in my head, because I have like framed this now as a Christmas dinner situation, you know
it's a Christmas special.
The end of like the Grinch when they let him carve the roast beast.
Yeah.
It's that, but it's like, and of course for the grand speaker of the Horned Rat, you will be carving the final slave. And he's like, oh guys, that's so nice. And then he goes, and he's like.
He's like, oh, you guys, and then he does the from the Green Mile.
Like, yeah.
the swarm of flies out the mouth. Like,
Jesus, he's here.
So a silhouette of curving horns could be seen as a claw reached out and scooped up a score of hapless Skaven. Yellow fangs flashed as the godmouth opened to consume them before he reached out again and again. When the paw last withdrew, a glowing pillar of purest warpstone was left behind. It had 13 sides, each marked by 13 blocks of runes. These runes were the unholy commandments of ruination and the dictates of rulership, as well as the prophecies of the Great Ascendancy. The Horned Rat then spoke to the Skaven before him in a voice of a million scratching and gnawing rats. He said that their wars amused him, but they must cease. The Skaven must spread corruption in order to inherit the world and assure his full return. He demanded the reformation of the Council of 13, and that all would obey them or face his wrath.
It was funny for the first 400 years, guys, but now we gotta all come together.
And it can be funny again, just not right now.
Yeah, but right now we gotta lock in, take it serious, and get back on to fucking up everyone else's good damn time.
He demanded that they listen to the Council of 13, for only his favorite could touch the pillar, and thus only his chosen could be on the council. With that, his presence withdrew into the ether, the terror reality sealing behind him. The musk of fear was strong as the Skaven reassured themselves their god had been there, or that he was really gone. Lord Rakan was the first to touch the pillar, bursting into black flames until only ash remained. Over the night, many more would touch the pillar, and only 12 remained who did. Each was imbued with a dark aura of power, blessed by the Horned Rat, the new lords of decay. From that point to the end of the world, the council would remain unchanged. Many would touch the pillar, and a few would even survive, but none would best an existing lord and take his seat.
So they're walking up to this pillar. And they're like, I think it's going to be me, guys. Because every Skaven thinks
that. Yeah, every Skaven secretly thinks that. Yeah. Whether they admit it or not, they secretly think that.
Every single one of them is like, did you see how the horned rat made eye contact with me?
He said, pick me, he picked me.
And then there are also Skaven there, because there's all of Skaven, like, are like getting together. So there are Skaven there who are like, hey, just to check, that wasn't me starving to death and part of my brain died imagining the horned rat, right? That shit happened. And genuinely, they start bursting into flames, and they don't just stop. They're like, no, there's 169
I'm
of us.
I'm built different, bro.
And frankly, I like my odds.
I'm built different. No, it's gonna be me. Just like, ah, that stupid bitch.
Of course it wasn't him, because it's me.
Over and over and over again. I would like to take this time to correct an inconsistency I said in the previous episode. When we were talking about the Black Death, I had commented that you turn into gray ash.
Yeah.
It was a typo. You just turn an ashen gray.
Ah.
So you just become a very, very gross corpse.
Okay. So that is so much
significantly better.
That's so much better.
It also explains why Van Hell was able to have so many bodies.
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
I mean, it's not horrible.
I mean, like, being ash is better than just being a bloated ashen corpse.
No, I mean, like, in terms of, like, imagine, like,
maybe I'm biased.
Your friend gets sick, and then a couple of hours later, he's just like a Pompeii ash pile, and like, it's why? Because he got sick.
Yeah, fucking he had a cold, what? And then a few hours later, he was just some dust.
That requires hours in an oven. And he just got the sniffles. They were bad sniffles.
Really bad sniffles.
So, okay. Where I'm coming from is, to me, that sounds a little bit better, at least, than another 10 hours of him being like, like, you know, suffering in agony from whatever. It versus, like, at one point, he's just like, and then he turns into ash. Like, at least, you know, that's like a... It stops.
Well, if it's instant... God, what if it turns you to ash slow?
What?
And like, you're like, oh no, my hand is falling apart. And you can feel yourself turning into ash.
I'm sure some Warhammer author has done this, but...
Oh yeah. There are Skaven statements right now.
We don't know. This is speculation. So, I want to touch in briefly on Mordheim.
Uh-huh.
So, in Imperial Calendar 1999... Ha! A warpstone meteor crashed into the city of Mordheim, turning it into a pile of ash and molten rock, and creating the largest concentration of warpstone in the world.
Oh man!
Multiple factions would fight over possession of this, and just the city in general, over like a few years. And I believe it was either Manfred or Vlad von Kerstein ended up seizing most of that warpstone to launch an invasion on the Empire. That is me going off of memory. I could be dicey on that one.
Right.
But as I recall, that is the case.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Was it called Death House before a meteor hit?
It was.
They were like, and this will be our blessed city, Mordheim.
I'm pretty sure it was, ironically, because the Empire's just grim like that. They just named their places Death House because, you know, fuck you.
There's also a very shitty video game I bought at least... once or twice and never finished. That's
called Mordheim?
Yeah.
Is it about Warhammer?
Presumably.
That makes sense. It was like a skirmish game when it launched. It was like basically you had like a little war band of guys, you know, like buy equipment and do little missions.
Does it take place before or after the meteor?
After the meteor, when they're trying to salvage the stuff in there.
Yeah, it's a very like simple sort of hack and slash type game.
Oh, that's fun. I don't know about the Mordheim video game, but yeah, the tabletop one is like a little skirmish one. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. I guess for like
vampires, maybe used it. That was
Vampires quite enjoy warpstone. The biggest incursions, like Van Hell, for example, was able to push back the Skaven by using the warpstone that fell. Like they rained warpstone on the Empire to go like take it, and then he used it instead, thwarting them.
I guess I kind of assumed that undead were a different kind of magic than chaos.
Warpstone is just the pure stuff of the Chaos Realm, which is pure magic in itself. So yeah, Warpstone being a magical stone,
it's for everybody.
Any sort of dark magic can be powered directly by Warpstone.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure with Quaiesh and like the more like kosher magics, it interferes and it isn't as good. But specifically with Dar based magics, like dark magic and the associated sub magics like Lore of the Undeath, Lore There's like several that pull up on Dar. Yeah, those all, Warpstone can definitely fuel those. Because I'm pretty sure, and I, someone who actually knows the lore here is probably going to vivisect me, but Nagash created the lore of Undeath by learning how to manipulate the Dar from the Dark Elves. And then that's why he had Nagash's heart to begin with, was because there was so much Warpstone, he could just do whatever he wanted with the zombies. And he could just make like endless amounts of them because he just had so much power in the form of Warpstone. But then this game of mind it all, so he kind of got cucked.
We'll do Nagash sometime.
We should do Nagash sometime. Yeah, we'll have that one.
Mario, you need to do Nagash sometime, so start reading.
Yeah, start reading. So I'm going to go ahead and touch up on the Skaven cities right now. There are four major Skaven cities in the Old World. They're all between the Blighted Marshes and the World's Edge Mountains. No, Crookback Mountain is to the east of the World's Edge Mountains, so that's the farthest that they go as far as their major strongholds. Clan Eshin has strongholds in Cathay and elsewhere, but their whole meme is that they're ninja rats, so all that shit is hidden, so no one knows where they actually are.
Right.
So I'm not going to touch on their locations because I have no idea where they are. If Total War Warhammer is to be believed, they have some locations mapped out, but that's just, you know, video game versus actual canon. So.
They just do Naruto shit, and they have the village hidden in the cheese.
Oh, man. That's so good. That's good. Oh man, the village hidden.
I couldn't help myself.
Too easy. So we're gonna start with Skaven Blight, the capital. Located in the Blight Marshes, Skaven Blight is the capital of the Under Empire and the birthplace of the Skaven. It is the largest and most densely populated city in the world and kept largely secret. It lies half sunken in the Blighted Marshes, a sprawling metropolis with endless caverns and twisting corridors that house nightmarish squalor on an unimaginable scale.
From it's like here, an apocalypse in there.
From here rule the mighty lords of decay, and they scheme for supremacy over all other races.
We're the most densely... We've got the highest population city in the world. Oh, is it, like, good? It's the highest.
It's a lot like Little Caesar's Pizza. How's the pizza? It's hot and it's ready.
It's there.
Is but it is good? It
good? It's hot.
It's there.
And it's ready.
The Blighted Marshes are essentially impossible to travel about above ground, as the land is too dangerous and outright toxic to outsiders. At the edge of the marsh lie deep water channels that house rotting slave hulks, ships the size of villages. Slaves set out from these to scour the reed beds for foul crops that grow there. They return to these flotilla before it set off again, the worst fate for a slave being abandoned in the marshes.
Eaten by crocodiles.
Eaten by river trolls, just getting a billion diseases, getting like mega malaria. It's just a bad time. It's just a bad time in the Blighted Marshes. Closer to the swamp center, ruined towers sprout out from the murky water. As the banks turn to solid ground, teeming ports offload food, resources, and slaves endlessly. Black corn is ground in rotting mills, with the broken and the weak slaves being tossed in for more grist.
I love that, because that is like, okay, and the corn that grows here is also black. And our mills, make sure they're nice and rotten. Make sure every part of this is as bad as it can be. You making cheese, you better be slapping that cow in the face every day. It better be an abused cow. A racist cow.
Otherwise the cheese is no good. The cheese is no good if the cow is happy.
Okay, so like... IRL, like, corn science, is, there are, like, cultivars of, like...
There's other colored corns, yeah.
But, like, there's ones, like, people have created, like, rainbow corn.
Yeah.
Where it looks like a bunch of, like, crystals, basically. It's really cool. So I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to make evil black corn.
Evil corn.
If you're a bunch of horrible rat men.
Corn wants to be genetically modified. It desires it, and it wants to be evil for the rat men.
I'm sure it's not that, especially if you're feeding it, you know, Warpstone or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. Just dusting it with cocaine, and you're like, that helps it grow faster.
Beyond the great granaries, the outline of a vast city rises out of the mud. Green-tinted mist wraps around the ruins and shattered buildings. The ground rumbles routinely, and fire leaps from fissures like wounds gushing blood. Caves are burrowed under the ruined structures, some emitting an ominous glow, others leading into complete darkness.
Those are the bottomless pits. This is the fire. It spits out. It spits out at random. That's some poison gas. That's non-poisonous, but green gas over there. You can go over there, probably. This is the greatest city in the world.
Yes, you're okay with this? That's is pretty metal.
It's part of the charm.
It's part of the charm. Yeah, that's
And that's.
That's her aesthetic.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize all those things were metal.
The majority of Skaven Blight exists underground. No map could ever account for the many districts or ever-changing locations of lairs, breeding pits, or strongholds, all connected by intertwining networks of tunnels carved out between sections. The deepest levels can only be reached by cages attached to chains and lowered into the depths.
They got elevators?
Yeah. Slave-powered... Even though they have, like, machines and turbines, they just, you know, have some guys...
They definitely have engines. They drive around in gigantic wheel tanks that have laser guns on them. They have the concept of engines, and they're like, and you, slave, you'll be pulling on the pulley.
It's like, we have engines, but give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
You gotta oppress them real good, or else they won't get any better.
What are the slaves gonna do then?
At the center of the city lies the Temple of the Horned Rat. It stretches for miles beneath the surface, but above ground is marked by the Shattered Tower. Parts of the tower are white, pristine marble, while others are decrepit and foul. This forms the power base for the Greyseers and their seer lord, Kritzlik. Beside the temple is the most impressive sight in Skaven Blight are the Warpforged... beside the temple, the most impressive sight in Skaven Blight are the Warpforgers and the factories of Clan Scryer. When Morskadar took control of Skaven Blight, they usurped entire quarters of the city for their infernal machinery, cathedral-sized halls lit by lightning lamps. All other clans resent Clan Scryer for the vast wealth and power they hold, but none dare challenge them.
So that broken tower, that's probably the Bell Tower, right?
Yeah, the Shattered Tower is the tower of Kavzar.
Yeah. That's
and it sank deeply into the ground because the foundation of the tower also had to go as deep underground as the tower went up because that's how
architecture works.
Yeah. And the dwarves worked on it. The Kavzar dwarves worked on it that way. So yeah, it literally goes just as far underground as it goes up. And it's the tallest building in the world. Was the tallest building in the world. Probably still is.
Man. And then the wizards came and they brought industrialization and they're not even sharing it.
Not even kind
There's just the wizard district that has what sounds...
It was one asshole who was just like, oh, your tower, can I write some stuff on the top? Like, yeah, sure, whatever. And he's just like, alright, curse forever.
And now it rains death.
Yeah,
it rains evil rocks.
What was his name? The
Shaper.
Just random asshole, old one apparently. It's just like, fuck you guys.
Fuck you, wanting to be thanks to the gods. I'll show you. And then thanks to me.
And then Ratman.
From nowhere.
We're pranking the cavemen of this primitive rock super hard right now. It's hilarious.
That's quite the prank. That's lasting
thousands of years of death.
Just horrible, horrible, insidious Ratman. So now I'm going to talk about Karak Eight Peaks, the City of Pillars.
Sounds like a dwarf place.
It is.
It was.
Yes. Thank you, Mario. It was. The Skaven first found Karak Eight Peaks 700 years before the birth of Sigmar. Knowing the city was beyond their ability to conquer, the Skaven set a plan in motion that spanned the course of 10 generations.
Oh.
Clan Mors and Clan Gridak were assigned with capturing the city, and Clan Gridak spent over 100 years burrowing beneath the lower workings of the city to find their way into the underground wells. The warlock engineers were then hired to place warpstone slag in the wells. The plan was simple. Wait for the dwarves to abandon the city when its main water source was now poisoned. However, the orcs and the goblins upset their plans, threatening to overrun the dwarves entirely. Not one to share, the Skaven instead swarmed the lower levels of the city and took the dwarves by surprise. They were quickly stemmed, however, and pushed from the lowest levels for the city for decades. The orcs had captured the surface, sandwiching the remaining dwarves between two foes. The tide shifted with the inflammation of Scryer's new poisoned wind. Hundreds of dwarves fell to this new and terrible weapon in the tightly confined tunnels of the Eight Peaks. So I was going to save explaining poisoned wind when I went over Scryer, but now's a good time to bring it up. So in current Warhammer, Poison Wind is Warpstone mustard gas.
Right.
They keep it in glass balls, and they huck those balls, and then it gets out, and anyone who breathes it in, you're coughing up blood and you're dead. In older editions, Poison Wind was not necessarily lethal. It would have an effect to take your miniatures out of combat, but it was a psychological weapon. It would make you feel like there's spiders all over you, or make you like spasm out and like attack your friends.
Now hit them with the PCP.
Yeah, it was a PCP bomb, and one of the effects would be that you overdosed and died. But it was actually just a mind-addling concoction in the older editions of Warhammer. But then eventually, Poison Wind just became mustard gas, and that is what its current rendition is. I'm sure there are probably still, like, a bad batch will still just have hallucinogenic effects or something, but typically you breathe Poison Wind, you fucking die. And it's extremely effective in caves and against armor, because you
still gotta breathe.
Yes, full plate dwarf, I don't care, suck this in, and you're dead.
So I imagine it's, like, the different versions. That was version one. That was when we were soft.
Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing yet.
Version three is like, this is when we're proper... Oh, we're ready to just kill them all.
Yeah, God bless. It's so bad.
Last time we made the Black Plague, and that was cool, but it did turn men to ash, and that was a problem. It was too far. If they fully evaporate into ashes, then, you know, it can't spread very far. So now it just turns them gray. And similarly, we started too hard at first. We started too hard, so we decided to pull back, and that was just hallucinations. Mostly them killing each other. And then we thought, you know, getting pretty tired of this fucking war. It's last, how many generations?
10.
10 generations, which...
Well, actually, that was before they even started fighting. Like, they just took 10 generations to burrow under.
My dumb bit was just, that could have been as many as 5, even 6 years.
Yeah. I was going to be a dick and be just like, just 10 generations? 10 years? Wow. That's crazy. And then you said 100, and I was like, ah...
So having lost too many to hold the city, the remaining dwarves fought their way out. This left Clan Griddick and Clan Morris to fight the orcs and the goblins who remained. A series of battles quickly denoted the Skaven provinces from the Greenskin ones.
And they lived in peace, of course. There's nothing saying that Skaven can't get along with all of God's creation.
False.
Yeah.
During the last battle, through the ceremonial halls of the West Quarter... Clan Morris collapsed the roof to seal out the orcs. This was always the plan, by the way. They were supposed to seal out the upper levels to make sure that there was just an underground city for them to conquer. Mm-hmm. So they always had planned to do that. But you might notice that while Clan Morris is a very well-known warlord clan, Clan Griddock is mostly unheard of.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound like one of their classic names.
That's because Clan Morris did not inform Clan Griddick of the plan to cave in the upper levels and crushed most of their clan rats in a typical Skaven fashion.
Oh, that's why we haven't heard of them.
Clan Morris then enslaved the remaining survivors and took the City of Pillars for themselves. It remains their largest holding and greatest breeding pit to this day.
God lord.
It's a good move.
It's a pretty good move. They spent 100 years doing that work for us, just for us to flatten them.
And then that was it. We got him.
Got his ass.
Job well done, guys.
Yeah, like, I was waiting for there to be, like, in the orcs expected this to happen. And, like, because if you're like, an honest, maybe in fantasy it's probably the goblins. Goblins would have anticipated this.
Yeah, most likely. The night goblins are very tricksy and clever, and they understand the caves very well. But, yeah, up until... the end times, the City of Pillars would be occupied by Skarsnik, the Night Goblin War Boss. He would have a faction that occupies Karak 8 Peaks. And then recently, Belagar Ironhammer, one of the whose ancestor King Lung was the last king of the 8 Peaks before it fell, he came back and reclaimed several levels. So there's like a dwarf civilization living in the 8 Peaks, while Clan Morris is still their like biggest fucking holding. But they're just so busy fighting orcs and themselves that they don't have enough time to deal with the dwarves until the end times when they wipe them out.
The Skaven are just too evil.
They're too evil for their own good.
If they didn't make that many Skaven, then there's no chance that Skaven would be anything.
They're Saturday like, morning cartoon villains.
We talk about like it's ridiculous how many Skaven there are. There has to be that many. They're killing each other. Every generation, you're like, oh, they can make so many. Cut it in half like every other day.
Yeah.
Because they just decided to eat one another.
And they call it the City of Pillars because the Skaven didn't really care about the eight peaks in which the city encompassed, the eight McMountain peaks, because they're under subterranean race. So they were more impressed by these massive pillars, because the giant high dwarf ceilings, these giant colonnades holding up the city, they were much more impressed by that. So they call it the City of Pillars.
What about all the mountains up there?
There are mountains up there?
Basically.
Never been outside. Not up there.
And now we're going to talk about Crookback Mountain. This one, Mario might be a bit more interested in.
Is this where the Skaven cowboys go? And
that's a terrible,
beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story about two friends.
It's two fellas.
It's two fellas. So stupid. Well, let's hear it.
The largest Skaven stronghold in the Darklands, currently held by Lord of Decay, Cratch Doomclaw, Clan Rictus. Crookback Mountain is known for breeding a large number of black-furred storm vermin. Clan Rictus rules the eastern edge of Mad Dog Pass with an iron claw. Crookback's main function is to supply goblin slaves to the Under Empire and mine the rich seams of iron and copper beneath the mountain. The mountain was first settled by goblins fleeing the desolation of Aghast 3,000 years ago. They were constantly infighting and tunneling deeper and deeper into the rock. Around 300 years before Sigmar, the Skaven would tunnel east into the tower, into the lower workings of Crookback Mountain. A tide of angry goblins and squids quickly pushed them out, and they sealed the tunnels behind them. Clan Rictus was then assigned to clear out the mountain and promised ownership of the mountain if they did. The clan nearly bankrupted itself, hiring Poisoned Wind and Molder Packmasters to assist the tunnel fighting. When they reopened the tunnels that they had sealed, the goblins were already back to their infighting. After several bloody months, the Skaven wiped out and enslaved the remaining goblins, which has been in the possession of Clan Rictus to this day.
Damn.
So there's an entire, like, slave trade of specifically just goblins over in the Darklands, which are east of the world's large mountains where the dwarves live. Uh-huh. So yeah, there's just the whole goblin rodeo going on over there.
That's pretty close to Goblin Hell, I imagine.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because Goblin Society already wasn't, like,
good.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
They're dumb and evil.
And then it's like, and also, not only are you born a goblin into a goblin society, it's a subservient goblin society that is enslaved to the horrible ratmen.
Yeah.
What do they do with their slaves? Generally, eat them. Yeah. Failing that, work them to death. Failing that, torture for fun. Failing that, some of them they get thrown into the grain silos. We like to
get some extra gristle.
So the worst part is, this is just everyday things to a goblin.
Yeah,
which just I think I tried to make a comparison to like Gretchen, like that's their life.
That's
like,
how it is.
If they make it to two, they're old.
And you know,
they've been around the block.
Another thought just occurred to me. They like have corn as like a big part of their like diet. Apparently, they're Skaven like bakers.
I don't know. Presumably,
otherwise, there's no point in milling that corn.
Yeah, yeah, that's an excellent point. What else to be doing?
There's Skaven who wake up in whatever the equivalent of the ass crack of dawn is. To a beautiful bakery.
No. To them.
Glowing green and obviously filthy everywhere. All the bread's black and red like it's a Hot Topic.
It's not a bakery. It's a... Oh, man. I hope I'm pronouncing... taqueria? Like a taco?
Yeah, taqueria. It's the tortillas!
it's just black tortillas.
Evil tortillas. Evil
tacos and burritos.
It's like Taco Bell if they had like a big Halloween promotion.
Extra would you go step. To the Clan Scryer taco truck? Would you go to the this Skaven taco truck?
You have to at least once.
It's just guacamole. I promise there's no warp stone.
It's just guacamole. I promise it's not warp stone slack.
It's not warp stone mixed with goblin skin that I've mixed up in the food processor.
Where are your avocados sourced from?
The hell's an avocado?
It's the same texture. Get over it.
It's green.
Yeah, try it.
Oh, man.
You try it once, and then if you grow something new, you gotta cut that off.
The food inspector comes, they like scatter.
They just kill him.
The rat droppings are off the charts in this place.
Yeah, they just kill that guy and eat him.
Yeah, they definitely would eat him.
He's in the next taco.
We're actually just re-upping on supply right now. Just this way, Health Inspector. Just right into a hole. That's just a meat grinder.
Yeah, Skaven are terrible. So the last city we're going to go over is Hell Pit. A very fun place.
The best one.
Okay, all these places are like places they took over. They don't like colonize their own places. What the fuck was Hell Pit called before it was
Hell Pit? Hell Pit is one of the only ones they didn't take over. It's funny you bring that up. This is one that they did colonize. So if you remember back to the Great Sniff, one of the 12 great hordes that traveled went very, very far north and founded Hell Pit. So, the city of Clan Mulder, lorded over by the Lord of Decay, Verminkin, it is located in a wasteland known as Troll Country. It is burdened to the walls and the floor of a chasm in a snowy mountainside of the northern spur of the World's Edge Mountains. Basically, they found a giant pit next to a mountain and said, "We live down there now!"
I'm imagining, like, they're bringing, like, some of the Grey Seers, like, to see the various, like, great cities of Skavendom, and they're like, and it's called Hellpick, you say, in the frozen north, and they're like, yes, sir. And he's just like, okay, I was cool about some of the other things that we've been doing. The taco was great, but the greenskin and dwarf presence in the City of Pillars I didn't care for. If this is just a pit full of Skaven, I'm going to be very cross with you.
He's the Grey Seer just doing his little inspection.
Yeah. And they're like, it's called Hell Pit. He's like, that's why I think it's just a pit. Is it just a pit? Tell me before we get there. Because if we get there and it's just a pit full of Skaven, you're getting pushed into the pit. And then they get there, and what does it look like?
Volcanic pools at the bottom of the chasm see a graying plume of steam and vapor rise out and mix with the stench of sulfur, matted fur, and excrement.
Probably fine to breathe that in.
Worse than the smell is the endless cacophony of screams, howls, squawks, and screeches that clamor out of the pit.
Why do you live there? It sounds worse than the surroundings. It's full of toxic gas, there's lava, so it's always hot, we're always getting burned. And we're always in pain and fighting each other because of the burning and the poison gas.
So you gave the scenario of like a guy being like, what are you doing here? Versus, I think of it as like the Skaven showed up in this big empty cavern and just like, it's free real estate.
It is free real estate.
How is this not being used right now?
No one wants to live down there? What do you mean?
Yeah.
With that lovely pool of lava? We could just throw all of our refuse into the lava and breathe in their healing vapors.
You know?
So during the Great War of Chaos, 200 years ago, before the modern era, Hell Pit was assaulted by a Chaos Host. Driven back by a horde of rabid rat ogres and wiped out by reinforcing Skaven allies, the surrounding area still has the taint of chaos, warping the rocks themselves. So not only is Hell Pit just like a bad place with magma and like a whole bunch of horrible beasts down there, it's also, like, chaos warped and, like, mutated. So it's doubly evil.
It's the worst place in the world.
You know, people say things, but it's home, all right?
Even in the Chaos Waste, they don't have, like, their big... Like, fucking Archeon doesn't have a chaos castle with a lava pit in it.
You don't know that. I don't know that. He could.
It's so bad for you to live in a lava pit.
It's not good.
I mean, it sounds appropriate, but... I've never heard of such a thing for Ark. That's kind of weird, where I'm just like, that's dumb. But that's like, he's...
Is it, though?
He's Skeletor. Of course he would have that. Like, Like,
Archeon is the Abaddon of Warhammer. You're thinking of Nagash. Nagash is Skeletor.
Okay. Yeah.
Which one's Mum-Ra?
Cetra.
I was just trying to Cetra do a bit. Cetra the Imperishable. But I like that. That's good.
Yep. I would say the damn near as close as you get. So, packmasters scour the land around Hell Pit for creatures to experiment on. Some of the largest and deadliest monsters roam the Northlands, and a packmaster might trail a manticore or a hydra for months before finding an opening to seize it. These are then hauled into Hell Pit in great iron cages. The packmaster will expose these creatures to warpstone and feed them, control the mounts until the mutations they desire manifest. The bottle of Hell Pit is filled with failed experiments that flop and shamble across the floor, feeding on one another.
So there's a thing that we did when we first discovered that radiation
can like cause mutations.
Mm-hmm.
Where to make a better orange, we would just take oranges and blast them with radiation and then try to see what mutations we could bring up. And in my head, that's very scientific. But it is functionally identical to capturing an animal and then just rubbing uranium on it and feeding it little flakes of uranium.
Yeah, that's literally what the nuclear rocks. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
What'll happen? I don't know.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah,
I want to see if I can give it back legs. Hydras need back legs. They only have the two legs to drag them around. Think of how fast I can make them. Two, even five extra legs.
Which, damn you, I'm now trying so hard to think who Archaon would be as a He-Man villain. Because it's like the two big ones that are left is Hordak or King Hiss. Which is, I don't know if he fits either of those.
What's Hordak do again?
Hordak is...
Hordak is Skeletor's boss, technically.
Basically.
So He-Man is predicated on there is space war.
Yeah.
And then parenthetically, on this planet, there is powerful magics, and therefore a renegade has escaped space war to try to take it over, and that is who Skeletor
is. Okay.
Sort of. So He-Man is dumb, and his mom was an astronaut who crashed on his planet.
Yes.
And fucked the king, and that's how you get Prince Adam.
I mean, you saw him. How rat shredded that king was.
Yeah, and then there's a subsequent series where it's just He-Man in space, and that's where you get Hordak. But it's more of like...
He's also the villain.
We saw Shaw Balls. You liked that. And then
sick.
And then they made a He-Man of that, where he's like, he has like a ponytail, and his sword is like a katana now or something.
Oh, man.
It's really bad and dumb, but that's where you get Hordak.
He's also the bad guy in She-Ra.
I guess Hordak would be an accurate Abaddon, but he's not... Nagash's boss, so it's not a perfect comparison, but yeah, as far as like evil warrior king,
I refuse to believe that there's a character in any piece of fiction that can't be equivocated to a He-Man.
Well, so then the option that's left is King Hiss, which is who's that?
I don't know who King Hiss is.
I have no idea.
He's the king of the snake men.
I mean,
I suppose I could have guessed that.
was his name not subtle enough? it's like a whole thing. I actually really like it in the 2000. He-Man remake. Mm-hmm. He's like the final villain of. They didn't make more of it, but it ended with King Hiss. It's really cool because he's pretty brutal.
Okay.
They have a whole episode about like the subterranean. You know the guy with the I don't know if it's Stegos, the club tail. You know that guy?
Ankylodon tail.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
Sure, yeah.
I'm a dinosaur nerd, I'm sorry.
That's one of Skeletor's crew, that he has one of those guys, but there's like an entire like underground society of those dudes.
Oh, man.
And then there's like a whole episode about how like this King Hiss has come back and the snake men are like subjugating them, and he just ate one.
Oh, man, like, that's a brutal move.
So it's like because it's a 2000s, you know... child show that aired on Toonami like during the day, like it just shows the ending scene of it. He's swallowing the last of the tail, but it's like he just ate one of those fuckers whole.
God bless.
And yeah, so that's King Hiss. He's King of the Snake. I don't know if that fits Archaon.
Archaon is
King
is,
Hiss is pretty cool, but
Archaon is Shadow the Hedgehog. If Shadow the Hedgehog was still evil, not a good guy. I'll have this world, kid. Like, he's like the most edgiest edgemaster in the planet. I'll do one about Archaon one of these days. Well, we'll go in about why
he's... That's kind of King Hiss, too. His whole thing is he's going to conquer the world because snakes are better. That's like his one...
He would know he's a snake.
Yeah, that's it.
Which brings us to Skaven again.
Back to Skaven. So, I want to touch up on how the Skaven perceive the other races real quick. So... When concerning the dwarves, Skaven consider dwarves to be their most intimate foe. They respect dwarves as great warriors, but see them as a race in a downward spiral that they will never recover from.
They are not wrong.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity, a Skaven will always wrong a dwarf every single time, but they don't see it as a priority, as most of their holds are already ours.
Right.
Theirs.
Like, if you find one, definitely scam them. But, like, don't break your neck looking for one.
Yeah. That's... I feel kind of dumb, because until you just described that, like, I didn't realize that, like, a Skaven is just the exact opposite of a dwarf.
Yeah.
In every basic, every possible
way. Or it's like, yeah, dwarves are so... like concerned with honor and shit, and Skaven are just like
the opposite.
Honor, like a
verminous valor.
Yeah,
lead from the back, a position of glory.
Yeah, that didn't click.
The only honor just we that. Know about is gnawing honor. Get her, boys, and yeah. then they all swarm, pick you apart like a piranha.
And when fighting Skaven, 1 to 10 casualties, or rather, when fighting dwarves, 1 to 10 casualties are considered favorable.
Good lord,
fuck them.
Yeah, right? Like, you know? That's so bleak. Like, you take down 10 of the foe and they're still winning.
What? Because everything else about them has been happy so far?
Like, you know? Fair enough, dude. Fair enough. That's Warhammer. It's grimdark. So, how Skaven are concerned with humans. Humans are seen as the last great obstacle to world domination. They would be free to act with impunity if not for them, and they are easy to corrupt and quick to betray their own for a few worthless coins. So Skaven actually like humans in that regard. They're quick to make the chaos bargain.
That's so terrible. There should never be a point of desperate, like, or even being evil, where when a hooded rat figure comes out like, got some money if you betray your people, you should never take that deal. Like, best case scenario... Now you gotta hang out with that guy.
One of my favorite little snippets.
He could be cool.
He's not.
One of my favorite little snippets is an imperial noble, or he's either a noble or he's like a merchant, someone who walks in high circles. Mm-hmm. And it's about like the section of the Children of the Horned Rat is how do the Empire view Skaven? Like if you ask a random imperial citizen, what would they say?
Yeah.
And this is like the noble upper society perspective. He's like, oh, they're definitely real. Yeah. You know those parties we go to with those Illuminati guys? Remember how Carl over there was wearing the mouse ears? That was a sign, you know.
That was him doing
it. It was a sign
it.
For the after party, of which I attended.
Yeah.
One of his little friends showed up with some drugs that were of a high, high, high caliber. We danced till dawn.
The rat man had the best shit.
They have the best shit. Canon. It's canon that they have the best shit.
They're having Eyes Wide Shut parties just with a rat guy in the corner.
Yeah, dude. Instead of like, oh, you're so high off your balls, you think that there's a guy in a rat costume, but it's actually just a rat man.
No, but the worst part is he's judging them.
Yeah.
So you guys are disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Skaven thinks you're disgusting. That says a lot, dude.
Ugh.
Holy cow, how bleak is that?
Yeah.
Awful. They're Skaven
just
are so...
sitting in the corner being like, you have women.
Yeah, they probably would have like that kind of opinion.
If I remember correctly, in the Greyseer novels, Thankill goes to Under Altdorf, which the citizens of Under Altdorf consider that to be the greatest city besides Skavenblight,
mm-hmm.
because it's underneath the capital of the Empire. Therefore, we're higher quality rats than the rest of you rats. We're better than you.
We live in the sewers of New York,
and they have their own Council of 13. That has 13 members. Heretical.
Yep.
Thankill even makes note of this. And one of their members keeps his own breeders that are just humans with like... They're human women. And then he put a different head on them.
Fucking what?
And then I think he gave them wings. I don't remember exactly. But they're horrible, grotesque monsters. But he keeps his own bitches. That's how those are the girls. That
you can't like. You can't skip over. You put a different head on them.
Yeah,
what kind of head?
I want to say a dog head. It might have been a bird head.
What?
It was like he put a different animal's head on them, so that
that can even happen.
They're Skaven.
So my
Warpstone.
My contention with this might sound weird. Is that that's not the important part. To replace, if you're trying to make
that's also true.
Air quotes breeders.
Yeah. Like,
Why do they need a dog head?
Hey, man, first...
What so they need is a rat vagina.
Yeah, you know, like...
Nope. Not for him.
So breeders is more of a quote.
I guess...
I pray it's only in quotes.
We'll never know.
Like, I guess magic, sure, but... It just doesn't add up.
Are there half-Skaven? Is that even a thing?
Don't know.
But you just...
Yeah, I mean, like he keeps them around. They're slash bodyguards slash things that he
you know, this
pleases himself with. It's not good. It's not good. None of it's good. It's all bad.
This is okay. This is a.
I'll get. You know what? I'll make sure to bring up. I'll read over the novel again and get specifics on this guy's horrible breeders, so you guys can know intimately how horrible they are.
So this.
I'm going off of memory right now.
So we've gone over something similar before. Just Elder Scrolls Diveafir, who's seemingly an immortal, dark elf wizard man. Has made clones that are women. Which he also apparently fucks.
Yeah.
And
that's so awkward.
And if you have a problem, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? It's me and myself are going to fuck you up.
He's a better wizard than you. What's up?
That's the only thing that really matters.
And what's his name? Seems to have a similar...
I don't remember mentality. His name. I like I said, I'll make sure to brush up on my horrible Ratman lore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need to know. Yeah.
I should, yeah.
We, and by extension, the people need to
know. Yeah, this is important knowledge for a wizard to know.
At the very least, I can take solace in the fact that if he takes the whole head off, then it's definitely not the woman.
No, it's not the woman anymore, for
sure. She's definitely...
For sure.
It's some scared dog or something.
But like, crying and confused.
But the human soul has moved into whatever their hell is.
None of what you said makes it better.
No, not at all.
No, not
in any way.
So, yeah, the greatest enemy to the Skaven's expansion is also their greatest ally in this regard. They foster the belief that Skaven don't exist in the Empire and get those who decried the effort carted off and branded as heretics. The Talaeans despise the Ratmen and oppose them at every turn, keeping them in check.
This is also another thing. That other than the upper crust, the Empire doesn't believe in Skaven generally.
This is Skaven go to painstaking lengths to like send like gutter runners and like Ashen Agents to take Skaven remains away from like the Empire.
They almost ended the world twice already.
Yeah,
it's not. I'm just imagining doing Monsters Inc. You know,
kinda.
Like they just freak people out and it's just like, was that real? I don't know. That's crazy, right? And then they just
skitter away.
Like, yeah.
Into the night.
And people are like, Ratman! This is like, you're insane. Get out of here.
Yeah, cart him away. He's a fucking lunatic. Talking about Ratman? Who the fuck is this guy?
Everyone knows there's no such thing as Ratman. That's ridiculous. You're thinking of Beastmen, and mostly those are goats. And they're like, well, what if I did see a Ratman? Then you're insane. You're an insane person. What? Why Ratman? Why is that more impossible? I saw a woman with the head of a dog following him. She had wings. And they're like, do you hear how insane you sound?
Yeah, I know, right?
You're extra crazy.
We know for sure there are dragons and orcs and things, but this is all impossible? And they're like, it's absolutely impossible. Straight to jail.
Right to jail. Straight to jail. So, in regarding elves, Skaven are secretly afraid of elves. Right. In their ways. They don't like them. They're too pretty. They're too orderly. They're too harmonic. They hate it.
Part of me sort of assumed that they didn't even really know about the elves.
They don't come up. They don't... And they don't encounter each other enough. Knowledgeable, educated elves understand the Skaven, understand the threat they pose. But there are a non-insignificant amount of high elves that also don't believe Skaven exist. Because that just sounds silly.
Yeah. You're thinking of
Insidious ratmen living under every city? Okay, come on, man. I know boogeymen are scary, but...
Well, I talked to the trees around here, and there's no ratmen under our city.
All right, so this is something I actually never considered before. Who's worse, the Skaven or the Drukhar, the Darkness?
So, okay.
Skaven, definitely.
Yes, yeah, Skaven, because the Drukhari can be reasoned with.
Yeah.
But does that make them better, though?
I think so. Lawful evil is always better than chaotic evil.
But Skaven can't be reasoned because they're rats.
They're pure children of chaos.
Drukhari can be reasoned with because usually it's like they look kind of like me, that other guy who's talking, you know what I mean?
My stance is lawful evil is always favorable to chaotic evil. You can handle and reason and deal with lawful evil and come to some sort of accord where you can get them later, but chaotic evil is just, there's no like guessing there. There's no planning around it. That's what I think, at least.
My reasoning for why the Skaven are definitely worse is I've heard a couple of different versions of the end of the Warhammer timeline. Because, you know, there's like the ways that they think it could happen, the ways that it has happened in different games in the past.
Yeah.
The end times, of course, Chaos Storm. And the Dark Elves don't even come close to winning.
Every time it's the Skeletor, I'll get you, He-Man, with Malekith selling an Olfan.
So, yeah.
He sets things up off of the coast, like, on the rest of the world, so that no one can interrupt him swinging on the high elves.
Yeah.
every single time. That's what it is with the Dark Elves.
I think if they won, the world would still be here. Whereas if the Skaven win, definitely no world anymore.
Dark Yellow, I get where you're coming from, where you're saying where you're coming from, but it's almost the divide, but it's like art orcs evil, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then because Skaven, presumably, are just intrinsically that way, whereas
Dark Elf made some choices.
They decided to be that
way. Yeah, that's fair.
Which is...
This is fair. That, and in that moral sense, they're worse.
So, but again, because, like, the orc comparison, it raises the question of just, like, are they worse or because they made the decision or, like, does it make them better because they, air quotes, could redeem themselves if they really wanted to versus Skaven just being, like, we're rat men.
We're rats.
We're going to eat you. Not much you can do about that.
We're the rats.
These are the questions to be asked in Warhammer. So, yeah, Skaven don't like elves. They're good-smelling, pretty, and harmonic in nature, all things in affront of the Horned Rat's teachings. They also make Skaven. They also match the Skaven for stealth and speed, robbing them of two of their greatest advantages. The forests are all but avoided, and they seldom meet the elves in open battle. They famously lifted the sieges of several Bretonnian cities with the Battle of Remark in 1813, a loss that has long lingered in the minds of the Skaven. So, the Skaven have been thwarted time and time again by the elves, just intervening in, like, Wars of Man. And, like I said, with the Red Pox, the elves of Athelorn came over and just basically fucking steamrolled them.
Yeah.
So, Skaven really don't like the pointy ears. They don't like them at all.
I feel like their nature magic probably is a hard counter to the corruption magic.
A lot, yeah. In most ways, yeah. That is accurate.
Yeah, they just kind of showed up. It was just a cure disease. Yeah. And did that in a line. Like, you know. Just...
Damn them! Curing disease. We're the only ones who are supposed to know anything about diseases.
And notably, the starter box set for 8th edition Warhammer was the Island of Blood, which pitted the High Elves against the Skaven. And it featured a High Elf Lord on a Griffin, 10 Swordmasters, 10 Seaguard, and then a High Elf Mage. And the Skaven had 40 Clan Rats, a... Poison Wind Mortar, a Warp Fire Thrower, 2 Rat Ogres, a Packmaster, and a Claw Lord and a Warlock Engineer.
That's so funny. You just described the elves as like, they have like between 6 and 10 guys, and the first group of the rats comes in 40.
Yep. Also, there are 5 Illyrian Reavers. I missed that for the elves, which are like light cavalry horse archers. And because of the Reavers, that's one of the reasons why it's considered balanced, because light cav is so fucking strong when used well in Warhammer and rank and flank. Being able to fire and retreat and like a whole bunch of other things, you can like route the rats before they even get to you. It's silly. But they do have strength of numbers. There are so many fucking rats in that box, so you can win in that way.
Good lord.
Fun times. And with that, we're going to end tonight's episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the nature of this content, go and give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. You can go and give me a follow on Blue Sky. You can support us on our Patreon. I'd also like to give a special thanks to our aspiring Magus, Uncle Maddie, and a super thanks to our fellow scryers, Midnight Grimoire, Gary Goblino, the Greater Good Boy, and my mom. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Hey.